But you know what? Satan is a poor loser. He doesn't like to lose. He will try to take back what God has taken from him, and that's you, and that's me. And maybe he'll bring discord into your life and with the family of God and in your Christian life. You see, that's the enemy. Either you're going to have discord with Satan or you're going to have discord with God. Far better to have discord with the enemy. Somebody has written that presenting the good news is preaching treason in the devil's kingdom.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 19 with a message titled, The Kingdom of God.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
It's a bad doctrine, a wrong doctrine, Reconstructionist doctrine, Kingdom Now proponents. They say that the church will usher in the kingdom of God by Christianizing the world. So we got to get busy to get everybody saved. We've got to take over the government. We've got to take over businesses, take over schools and the military, and make all that is secular, make it Christian. Sanctify it, make it Christian. And then when we do that, when we're finished with our work, then we hand it over to Christ. Christ comes back. Well, I don't know about you, but things aren't getting any better. In fact, I see things that are going awry. In fact, the Bible says, no, things aren't going to get better. The Bible says things are going to get worse before they get better. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be right before I come back. Remember in the days of Noah, there was a population explosion, and with that population explosion, corruption was just permeating society. Moral rottenness, violence filled the earth, demonic activity took place. He said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days right before I come back. What was happening in the days of Lot? Militant homosexuality. Young and old, that became the normal lifestyle there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And not only that, the insults and the harassment of the godly Lot, his righteous soul was vexed because of the unprincipled living of those. So things aren't going to get better. We're not going to bring in the kingdom age. Jesus will bring it in and things will get bad. And it'll be after that 7-year period known as the tribulation. That'll be, Jesus said, in the last days, nation will stand helpless, not knowing which way to turn. The idea is they don't know how to get out of this malaise, this horrible situation. They can't figure out how to solve their problems and have leadership and get along with one another. Their technological know-how and their scientific sophistication, they're stymied over what's going on worldwide, can't figure out and how to solve the world's problems. And not only will we be looking for Jesus, but the Christians, that physical, literal kingdom when he reigns for the 1,000 years, but his personal, experiential kingdom reigning and ruling in the hearts of believers, this moment. You see, this can happen, should be happening right now in our hearts and in our lives. Why isn't it? Well, better question might be, how does this happen? Well, the Bible tells us, Jesus speaking in John 3, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In Luke 17:20, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Jesus said, if by the finger of God I cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come to you. You see, Jesus being that full embodiment of the kingdom of God, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So here, all that Jesus said, all that Jesus did, all of his teaching is really a mirror of the kingdom of heaven. You see, the kingdom, a kingdom always demands a king. Jesus declared himself king who has come bringing God's kingdom. He's already mentioned that. When I had mentioned, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's our heart's door. If anyone hear his voice and open that door, I'll come into him and fellowship with him and he with me. And Christ in us, the hope of glory. So now we are the embodiment of what the kingdom of heaven should be. Now we're kind of a veiled representation of that. But to the best that we allow Christ's spirit to reign and rule in our life is the degree that we're going to display what the kingdom of God is like. You see, if you have a friend that comes over to your house and he wants to fellowship, and here you look, you peek out the door, you see him, and then you go outside and shut the door. It's almost like you don't want to let him in. And then finally, you know, he says, oh, I just wanted to come and hang out with you and fellowship with you. You don't want to let me in your house? And you go reluctantly, okay, come on in. And then here you are, you're in the house, and he's wanting to talk, but here you're on the device. You got the TV on. You got all these distractions. And he gets the impression, you know, you really don't want him there. You're not really that interested in hanging out with him and or her and fellowshipping with them. But I bet you, if you're a renter, and I bet you if your landlord knocked on the door with maybe some papers in his hand, ooh, you'd be on your best behavior. You'd bring him in. You'd get him maybe a sandwich and some coffee and whatever. And, oh, what can I do for you? Well, he just wanted to come over and see how things were going. You'd probably want to make sure, well, could I fix anything in the house? You know, what needs to be redone, or do I need to change some spaces here? You know, is the yard how you want it? If you would do that for maybe an earthly landlord, what about a landlord of your heavenly eternal life, Jesus Christ? Are we reluctant to invite Jesus Christ in and maybe make changes, maybe renovate some areas in our life that we're not doing too well in? It's not really glorifying him. Maybe changing some spaces. Maybe we've got our own special space that we don't want the Lord in. He says, you know, the walls need to come down. I need to do some construction there. Are we willing? You see, Jesus said in Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. We know he's speaking about us, what God did. He sold everything, the most precious thing, his son, for our salvation. That's what he's saying here. That's what God did for us. You see, in Colossians, Paul is writing and saying that he, God, delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. But you know what? Satan is a poor loser. He doesn't like to lose. He will try to take back what God has taken from him, and that's you, and that's me. He'll want to bring temptation into your life to draw you away from the Lord, or maybe discouragement or distraction, or want to neutralize you in certain ways, maybe through apathy, or you're just not interested in the Bible anymore. You're apathetic to it. You're indifferent to it. Or maybe compromise. Oh, you were so committed, but now you just kind of fallen by the wayside. And maybe he'll bring discord into your life and with the family of God and in your Christian life. You see, that's the enemy. Either you're going to have discord with Satan or you're going to have discord with God. Far better to have discord with the enemy. Somebody has mentioned and written that presenting the good news is preaching treason in the devil's kingdom. Whenever you bring the kingdom of God, whenever you bring the gospel of the kingdom in, it's treason in the devil's kingdom because he wants to keep what he has. You see, when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we also must pray, "My kingdom must go." It can't be my kingdom, a dual kingdom, God's and mine. You see, living for my own ambitions and my own desires and my dreams and my goals and my plans, it's not wrong to have those. But you see, if those are at the forefront and Christ is somewhere behind, like one of your credit cards in your wallet or your, you know, whatever, your purse or however you have that, he needs to be in the forefront. You see, he needs to be the one who directs your ambitions, your goals, your dreams, your desires, your plans. He needs to be the one that leads you in those. He's first. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all things unto you." You see, above all else, keep your heart continually set on the reign and the rule of the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what the kingdom of God is. You see, Jesus is never Lord over a life that he doesn't govern. He needs to govern our life to be Lord over it. Someone has said, and I've actually read years ago, that if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You see, he's not going to share his life in you with some other life. He wants full control. It's not a burden. It's not a burden when we make him Lord of our life. It's a blessing. You see, satisfaction is never going to come by carnal pleasures or worldly ambitions. It just doesn't happen that way. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." So notice how different it is from eating and drinking and worldly pleasures, but God's kingdom is righteousness. Because we are in right relationship with God, he's Lord. It's not only righteousness, but it's peace. Peace is a result of our having peace with God. And when we have peace with God, we have the peace of God. That's his kingdom. And not only that, the Bible says that his peace shall garrison or mount a guard over your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of stress, but realize this, that when Jesus is Lord of your life, it's a garrison. It's like nothing gets in to that attitude of peace. And joy? Joy identifies us as believers in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I think the most joyous people should be Christians. The Bible says, "And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Remember last week we prayed, "Holy Spirit, you know, fall on us, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit." Well, the more of the Holy Spirit, the more of the joy you realize, the more of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. The Bible says, Paul says, "I'm overflowing with joy in all our afflictions." Remember, even Paul and Silas in Philippi, they were in jail. They were singing at midnight in stocks, had just been beat. They're singing praises unto the Lord, but they had joy. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." So even David, sometimes he missed the mark in that joy. He said, "Lord, restore it again. I've had a tough weeks and months. Lord, restore that to me." Now, you might say, well, how is heaven different? Church is to be a facsimile of what life is like beyond the grave. When we talk about going to heaven, what is the kingdom of heaven like? A place in which God reigns and rules. That's the literal heaven. Where righteousness, now in heaven, well, that different righteousness is eternal without temptation of sin. Now we have temptation of sin, even though we're righteous. He's declared us righteous. In heaven, we have peace is eternal without interruption of trouble, discord, or contention. Now we have trouble, discord, and contention, so that peace gets off balance. And joy? Joy is eternal. It's without any admixture of misery. You see, so in heaven, different than here on earth, the kingdom of heaven, when that comes, literally, physically, different than the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God in our life now. because we're disturbed in a lot of these things, but still they're a reality to us and with us, and we're to display those to the world. You know that a train runs best on its tracks, not in a field. It's not an off-road vehicle. It'll get where it needs to go on its tracks. It's designed to function at the greatest potential when governed on the railroad tracks. You are designed to function at your greatest potential when governed by the kingdom of God and in fellowship with God. When you get off track, that's when life gets sour. That's when life takes a turn. You see, it's what we've been designed for. You're not an out-of-fellowship kind of person. You're an in-fellowship. It's like a train is not an off-road vehicle. You're not an off-fellowship kind of person. You might think, well, Bill, I don't know if I can stay on track. I've gone off track a number of times. I don't know if I can stay on track. I can hardly stand a diet. I can hardly keep my exercise discipline. I can hardly get the house clean. You know, how am I going to stay on track with the Lord? I'm afraid I'm going to derail. Well, you have to realize it's not up to you. It's not up to your strength. The Bible tells us, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. You see, God gives power over the old life so that we can live for and enjoy that new life that God has given. As Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. As Micah says, I am filled with power, with the spirit of the Lord. So you see, it's a spiritual kingdom with spiritual principles. It's his life in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, his power. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. I think so often we go off track. So often we're not experiencing the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We're not displaying that to others because of the things of the world. It inoculates us. I could say the clutter of the world inoculates us against spiritual things. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm just talking about things, clutter. Things that just simply distract us from the main thing. We need to get the main thing, Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. You see, and even works of the flesh, they kill the appetite for the spirit. And you might ask, how do you know when I'm operating in the realm of the spirit and the realm of the flesh? It's a lot easier to answer that question than you might think. Is your appetite, here's the answer, is your appetite for the kingdom of God in his word, in his worship, and serving him, is it growing or is it shrinking? Or is it just dormant? I mean, you can answer that question to yourself. The Bible tells us in Psalm 106:14, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. God gave them their request, but sent leanness to their souls. They weren't satisfied with God's provision of manna, so they lusted after meat, and God gave them quail. They still weren't satisfied. You're still not going to be satisfied, no matter what you get in the world. They weren't. We won't be. And even if it goes into the sin realm, because, you know, that, you know, you've got the clutter realm, but then you have the sin realm, as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 said, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see, those things, those sinful things, they kill spiritual appetite and leave a person dead in their sins and their trespasses. One just hinders you from the kingdom of God. The others, you find yourself, you know, just really down at the bottom, dead in sin and trespass. So what does Jesus say? Well, he said, repent. His first words when he came, his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. His work of forgiving our sins, his work of delivering us from that domain of darkness and transferring us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, not only real 2,000 years ago, but real this morning in our lives. You see, change is just simply a prayer away and a lifestyle, the first step in that right direction. Just a fresh, real experience with God today. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He's coming back. We live in the kingdom of heaven now with Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we look forward to that kingdom, physical, visible kingdom, where we will reign and rule with him. Let me end with a story. John Moser, he was regarded as one of the most educated and outstanding judges of Germany. In his youth, he was influenced by the writings of Voltaire, considered the worst critic of the Christianity the world has ever known. But John, being a fair-minded man, decided to hear the other side. He began to study the Bible and came across John 7:17. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own initiative. Moser said, quote, what? Jesus made the proof so simple? It would be a shame for a heart thirsting after knowledge not to make a try of it. So he read and studied the teachings of Christ and put them to the test in his daily life. He became convinced that the teaching was of God and turned out to be a committed Christian, committed judge in Germany, renowned judge in Germany, and a committed Christian. Why? Well, the Bible says, taste and see, the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You get on that track of the kingdom of heaven, and you'll find that you never want to go back to the old. Oh, there's the temptation. Satan doesn't like to have what was his taken away from him, so he's going to greedily try to get it back. But stay on track with the Lord.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 19, titled The Kingdom of God. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 19. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.